The scripture today is out of Paul's letter to Philippi, Philippians 4, 8 through 13. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Last week, we talked about the abundant life. And remember, go pull out your sermon notes that you took from last week. We talked about the spiritual nature of life, the physical nature of life, the psychological nature of life, and the emotional nature of life, and how all of those are intertwined into abundant living. Today, I want to talk about the state of mind brought on by tending our lives well. Paul begins with a list of attributes. Listen to those again. Truth, honor, justice, purity, pleasantness, commendable, excellence, praiseworthy. Think about those things for a moment. Question. Do the above characteristics grab the headlines in today's news cycle? I'm afraid not. Do our political leaders on both sides portray these characteristics in their lives and in all of their public announcements? Do they? We are living in a time when loudness and avarice and greed make the news, and the simple qualities that make for a contented, abundant life go unspoken. You and I know there is a better way. We know in our heart of hearts that there is a better way to live than what usually makes the 6 o'clock news. Isn't there some way that we can come together and live that better life that Paul reminds us of? Wait a minute. That's what the church is for. Well, I'll be. I had the answer right in front of me. That is true, isn't it? That's what we are here for. To live out the abundance of life so that real contentment can be a part of the environment that we're in. Both physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological. So that we can spread that contentment. So just how do we do that? That is our job. We can't escape that fact, can we? Not only can we not escape it, we don't want to escape it. That's why we're here. So what do? We tell the good news. We tell the good news. Did you know that God loves you? Did you know that? Where did you hear that? You may have heard it in a Sunday school class when you were a child, on your mother's knee as you said your evening prayers. But that great church universal in your background and in my background, for some of us it's been more of a recent awakening to that fact, but God seriously loves you. And there's nothing you can do about that. That's what we can do, is tell that good news every chance we get. Now, I'm not talking about going up and grabbing somebody by the collar and saying, "Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior?" No, that tends to scare people. But we tell them that every time we spread a word of kindness instead of a word of harm. I do that every time, and you know my driving, right? Every time I don't hit the horn, I'm sharing with that person who is driving crazily that God loves them. They'll never know that I actually said that. God loves you. God bless you. But every time you treat another person as thou, you are sharing that love. And then what we can do in the church is that we become a safe place. We become a safe port in the storm. We become a haven. What's the word I'm searching for? Sarah, do you know what that word? A sanctuary. I knew you were going to have it. We become a sanctuary. A sanctuary is not just a room with the name out front. A sanctuary is a place of safety. Every Tuesday and Wednesday, a lot of you on Wednesday morning, as many as 40 volunteers will show up, and that gym becomes a sanctuary, a safe place where people can come and find food and support. And then we also need to be a safe place where people can be who they really are. That is one thing Mary Louise and I noticed right up front about this place that we love so dearly. We are full of characters, aren't we? We are full of people who feel free to be exactly who they are. You don't have to wear a mask to try to hide your feelings if you're feeling down. You don't have to wear a mask at all to be accepted here. There is no dress code within reason. But you know what I mean. There are some places that you just don't feel comfortable going in because you feel out of place. It is my prayer that no one will ever come through those doors into the narthex and enter the sanctuary and have that feeling, "Oh, I shouldn't be here." We are to be a safe place where people can be who they really are. And then we are to be barrier breaker downers. And that sounded even more awkward than when I wrote it. We are to be barrier breaker downers, not barrier builder uppers. Jesus placed himself among every sort of person. He was the original barrier breaker downer. It will always be my favorite story in the New Testament when he picked out the woman at the well. She was left out of her community. She could only come to the well at noon when she was hot, when it was hot, because none of the other women would have anything to do with her. You know, she had a bad reputation. And Jesus marched right up to her and asked for some water. Such a simple request, but can you imagine what went through her mind as this rabbi asked her for water? Sir, you shouldn't even be speaking to me. And then what did he do? She was the first to whom he announced who he was. We are to be barrier breaker downers. We are to be a safe place where God's love is passed out, not in just words, but in deeds. I see y'all doing those deeds all the time. We're going to do more of them. We're going to do different kinds of those good deeds when we get through. Oh, did I tell you that we're going to begin that planning deal starting next week after church? If you would be a part of that group, stay. And we're going to have it sounds so churchy to call it an organizational meeting. We're not going to do that. But we are going to get together and start a team of the willing to go through all of those stories, and it will help us determine who we are and move forward. The church must always be more like a hospital than a museum. Then Paul says, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. Actually, one translation has it, in whatever state I am. Are you contented in your life? Does contentment describe your state of being? Another word for this kind of contentment is acceptance. We cannot hope to grow to a new, higher plane of living until we have truly accepted who we are right now. You, my friends, you are lovable children of a loving God. Accept that truth right now. And Paul says you will be contented. Then you can live out the truth that Paul proclaims. You can just almost hear him proclaim it. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.